By the way, just to make mention of the work we're doing with Pastor Mahan's sermons, hear from people all over the world and quite encouraged about it. I've got some extra sermon sets with me if some of you like to have a copy. 1,300 sermons on 6 DVDs. And if you'll see me after the service, I'm sure that we can strike a bargain. Turn in your Bible, please, to Romans. Romans 16. Romans chapter 16. I've preached this message to myself over and over for the last 3 days. Rolled the bed all night with it last night and about wore it out. And I trust the Lord will bless His Word to the hearts of His people. Romans 16. I want to begin at verse 25. Romans 16, 25, and I think often when we come to this chapter, we do this very thing that I'm going to do right here. We forget the first 24 verses and skip right to verse 25 and read this closing doxology. But there's a whole lot in those first 24 verses, and we'll go back and look at those in just a minute. But let's read beginning at verse 25. Now to Him, our God, our great God, our Savior, God our Savior, that is a power to establish you according to my gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ. My gospel is a preaching and declaration of who Christ is, Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest by the Scriptures, the prophets, according to the commandment, the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith, to God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Now that is a glorious doxology of praise, and what a way to end the book of Romans. Now, if you look over chapter 16 of Romans, you'll see many names and many greetings. You'll notice verse 3 says, greet Priscilla and Aquila. Greet Mary, salute Andronicus, greet Amphilus, salute Urbane. And you have a tendency, just because there's so many names that are difficult to pronounce, and names that you think, well, it's just a general greeting and just some general remarks, and maybe you have a tendency, I know I did, to read over these things and tell you really, and this is where we ought to take the Word of God and look at it so carefully and so closely, because there's so much more here than just a list of 36 names. Now, it's encouraging that there's a list of these names, because these are people that are recognized by God, and they are some of those names that's in that Lamb's Book of Life. These names that are written here, right here, some of these folks right here, these folks that are written are in that book. And that's a glorious thing, that God would choose a sinner and use a sinner to promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. These people here that are mentioned, they are believers called by God's grace. They loved the gospel. They labored. They learned by the Spirit of God the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they gave their very life unto it. Can we do less than give our whole being to the gospel of Jesus Christ? Notice, if you will, verse 3 and 4 of this couple here, Priscilla and Aquila, husband and wife, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches. Here's a couple that stood firm for the gospel, even though it cost them greatly. And my friend, God's people are of the same mind, are the same attitude, willing to give whatever it takes to stand for the gospel of God. He mentions in this list both men and women, young and old, Jew and Gentile, who promoted, supported, believed the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who are at this time, at this right now, singing that song of redemption unto the Lamb, unto Him who loved us and washed us from our sin in His own blood. To Him be all the honor and glory. Worthy is the Lamb. Now, what God gives in these verses, verse 1 down through verse 24, and here's what I want to do. Here's what I want to work on this evening. What God gives in these verses is a description of His people. a description of His people. And there's at least seven things that, and I'm sure there's more, but there's at least seven things that I see here that God uses in His closing chapter to describe His covenant people in Christ Jesus. Now here's the first one. God's people are loved of God. God's people are loved of God. Look at verse 5. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphroditus, who is the first fruits. You know, the first fruits were God's property given to God. Epaphroditus was well-beloved, and he was the first fruit. He was one of the first conversions in Asia unto Christ. Again, in verse 8, look at verse 8. Greet Ampilus, my beloved. Now, look at this. My beloved in the Lord. My beloved in the Lord. And then again down in verse 12, it talks about salute the beloved Persis, which labored much in the Lord. Now, you can see that, and this is true of all of God's people. All of God's people, they're loved of God. Loved of God. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm embarrassed to talk about my love for God. How frail, how weak. I can say with Peter, Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. I don't love Him like I should. I don't love Him like I ought to. Don't love Him like I will one day. But I can say with by His grace, I can say, Lord, I do love You because You first loved me. But I'm embarrassed to talk about my love for Him. I kind of get a little bit uneasy when someone sings that song, Oh, How I Love Jesus. Now, I'd rather talk about this. I'm embarrassed to talk about my love. I do love Him. Don't misunderstand me. But here's what I want to talk about. And here's what I am not ashamed to talk about. His love for me. I want to talk about it. I can camp there. I can dwell right there and talk a little bit about His love for this sinner. For this sinner. Oh, I tell you. Melts your heart, doesn't it? How I love to talk about His love for me. John put it this way. Here is love. Oh, not that we love God. Here it is, he said. Here it is. Not that we love God. Ah, but He loved me. How much did He love you? How much does He love His own? Ah, He laid down His life for His sheep. Here is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and gave Himself to be the mercy seat. The sacrifice, the pouring out of His blood on the mercy seat to put away my sin. That's love. I talk about that kind of love. His love for me. But what does the Word of God say about God's love for His people in Christ Jesus? I hear what a lot of religious people say, but, you know, I want to know what God says about His love. What He says about His love. Well, several things I know from the Word of God. Turn back to Romans chapter 9. This love of God, sovereign love. Sovereign love. Brother Park sang about it this morning. Hail, sovereign love. It's sovereign love. Here it is in Romans chapter 9, verse 13. As it is written, Jacob have I loved. Jacob. Oh, Jacob. Jacob have I loved. Esau have I hated. That's sovereign love, isn't it? Cannot our sovereign God, who has all power, love whom He will? Choose whom He will? What shall we say then? Verse 14, is there unrighteousness with God? Are you going to charge God with unrighteousness because He's sovereign in His love and sovereign in His mercy? Well, God forbid. For He saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I'll have compassion. I'll love whom I will. So then, not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but it's God that shows mercy. Sovereign love. Sovereign love. What else does the Word of God say about this love of God? Turn back to Romans chapter 5. Not only is it sovereign love, but it's sacrificial love. It's sacrificial love. It says in Ephesians 5, He loved the church. He loved the church. And gave Himself for it. But here in Romans chapter 5, look at this. Verse 6, for when we were yet without strength, according to the time, God's time, due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Look at verse 8. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if we were enemies, we were reconciled. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved because He ever lives to make intercession for us. Sovereign love, sacrificial love. How about saving love? Saving love. It's saving love, is it not? Turn over here to Ephesians, the book of Ephesians. You don't mind turning to these scriptures, do you? I know you don't. Ephesians chapter 2. Look at this here. Saving love. But God. Verses, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. He talks about in the preceding verses everything we are by nature, children of wrath, even as others. Then he comes with this little word that I love, B-U-T, but God. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and has raised us up together, made us sit together in the heavenlies, in Christ Jesus. You see, it's sovereign love, isn't it? Sacrificial love, isn't it? It's saving love, isn't it? And you know what else about this love? There's no separation to it. Turn back to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, he said, I'm persuaded, verse 38 of Romans, I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, angels, principalities, things present, things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. There's no separation. It's an eternal, everlasting love. Shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in our Lord Jesus Christ. So you got the first point. Back to Romans 16. God's people are supremely, sovereignly, eternally loved of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. Second point is this, and I'll skip down to verse 13. We'll come back to some other verses in a moment. But I like verse 13, where it talks about, and this has to be a name that originated in eastern Kentucky. Down in the coal field. This is a coal miner's name, old Rufus. Salute Rufus. Look at, chosen in the Lord. Ah, here's a special jewel of God. Chosen in the Lord and His mother. And Paul said, and His mother was just like my mother. She's chosen in the Lord. Rufus, chosen in the Lord. Think of it. Think of it. Here we see that blessed truth of God's electing, saving grace. It's certainly taught throughout all the Scripture, isn't it? God's choice of His people. God's choice of His people. Our Lord referred to it often. All that the Father hath given to me shall come to me, and those that come to me I will in no wise cast out. That is, there is in the Word of God, it's all through the Word of God. It's not some isolated verse here or there, but it's all through the Word of God. God's electing choice of His people. God elected a people from all eternity. And we often refer to it as a Bible doctrine of election. But my friend, that to me it kind of makes it cold and impersonal. When I think of election, you know what I think about? Christ. Christ. The first time the word's ever used in Scripture, Isaiah 42:1, behold my servant, my elect, in whom my soul delighteth. The election, my friend, is Christ. He is the elect. We're chosen in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord said, you didn't choose me, but I've chosen you, and I ordained you. Now, what do we know about this election? Well, this election of grace is eternal. There is a remnant according to the election of grace. Turn over here to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. this election is eternal. Eternal. 2 Thessalonians 2:13, we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. Through, God did the choosing. From the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit. That's the new birth, which leads to belief of the truth, whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's an eternal election. It's an unconditional election. It's purely on God's sovereign pleasure. A remnant according to the election of grace. Not merely. It's not God foreseeing I'd do something sometime. No, it's the pure sovereign choice of God from eternity. He elected a people unconditionally on His own sovereign pleasure. Something else about this election. Not only is it eternal, unconditional, but you know it's personal. Personal. Rufus, chosen in the Lord. John chapter 10, talking about the good shepherd. You remember what it said? The good shepherd knows his sheep by name. He knows my name. Before I formed you in the belly, he said to Jeremiah, I knew you. I ordained you. I chose you. It's personal. He knows his sheep by name. Matthew, follow me. Zacchaeus, down. Lazarus, come forth. See, it's personal, isn't it? I like that. I like it up close and personal. This thing of salvation, my friend, is not some cold, isolated doctrine. Amen. It's personal. Amen. It's personal. I have a Savior who knows me, and He's always known me, and He'll never forget me. That's right. Blessed is the man whom Thou choosest and causest to approach unto Him. It's not an election of nations or election of churches. It's personal. He chose me. How do you know that? How can you say that with assurance that He chose me? Well, Paul said, brethren, knowing your election of God, the gospel came not to you in word only, but in power. In power. And He quickened of His own will, began He us with the word of truth. He gave life and caused me to run after Him and to hear Him and to love Him and to embrace Him. It's personal. He called me. It's a powerful call. The holy calling. Personal calling. And He'll never stop calling me. And I'll never stop calling on Him. Thirdly is this. Here's another good word here. Back in verse 10. This man saluted Apelles. This man Apelles, I like this word here too, approved. Approved in Christ. Approved. How would you like to have the approval of God stamped on you? Huh? I'm interested in that. I'm interested in that. You see, my friend, the Scriptures teach that we're accepted in the Beloved to the praise of the glory of His grace. I can never be approved by my efforts. I can never be approved by my works. All my righteousnesses are filthy rags. There's none righteous, no, not one. I grew up in works religion. Many of you did. I tell my folks back home, I cut my teeth on works religion. I grew up out in the Rocky Mountains. I grew up out in the state of Utah. Grew up a Mormon. Was a Mormon priest and an elder. Works. 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 That's all it is. What is it? Dung, dung, dung. I tell you, I can never be approved by my works, by my efforts, by my righteousness. If righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Well, how good do I have to be to, how righteous do I have to be accepted and approved of God? How good? How much? Perfect. Well, preacher, I can't attain that. I can't either. But I tell you, in the Lord Jesus Christ, He's able to, my God is able to supply all my need according to His riches in glory through the Lord Jesus Christ. My God is able. I like that word, able. You can do a lot with that word, able. God is able to save to the uttermost all that come to God by Him. Oh, approved of God, accepted in the Beloved. You're not going to believe this scripture. Turn over and look at this. This just absolutely blew me away right here. 2 Corinthians 10, look at this. Apelles, approved in Christ. If you're a believer resting in the Lord Jesus Christ, just pencil in your name right there. Approved. Approved. I tell you why we're approved in Christ. When Peter stood up at Pentecost, you know, the first word out of his mouth, you men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God. Approved of God. Now look at this, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12. For we dare not make ourselves of a number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, they're not wise. I tell you what, they're not saved either. That's right. That's just self-righteousness. But here's the good news. Look at the last few verses here. Verse 17 here. He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. That's the man approved of God. Whom the Lord commendeth. Our Lord said, God the Father said of the Lord Jesus Christ, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Approved. I have His stamp of approval on this sinner, justified by His grace freely through the redeeming work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Fourthly is this. Notice, if you will, here's another description. And this is a description of the Lord's people. I call it a spiritual biography. And I think that's what it is. But it's God's description. Remember, this is God breathed. And this is the Lord revealing and describing His people, His church. Look at verse 17. Something else we know about these people. They're taught. They're taught of God. Now He said, I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine. Notice that doctrine which you have learned. You see, God's people are taught of God, and avoid them. For they are such that serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. God's people are taught of God. Not only loved, not only chosen, not only approved of, they're taught. They're taught of God. Now, get a hold of this. Turn back to Romans 15. Romans 15. These who are taught of God, they contend for the truth. I didn't say they're contentious. I said they contend for the truth. Willing to take a stand, no matter what the cost, for the truth. And you know why? They're taught of God. They're taught of God. It doesn't matter what men think. They're taught of God. And they will not back down. Believers have been taught from His Word. Look at Romans 15. Here's our learning. Romans 15:4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime, Romans 15:4, were written for our learning. We are taught from the Word of God. This is the doctrine of Christ. Written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. This is the source of our learning, is it not? This is the source of our teaching, is it not? All those who have heard and learned of the Father, come to the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I tell you what, this doctrine here that we have learned and this doctrine that we have been taught and this doctrine of the book is one thing. It's Amen. One lesson.
Amen.
One lesson. You mean this book just teaches one lesson? There's one teacher and one lesson. And that one lesson's Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ in salvation, He is everything. Not something, He's everything. Christ is all and in all. He teaches us through His Word. He teaches us by regeneration. Except the man be born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. I can teach and teach and preach and preach, but I tell you, something else has got to happen. God has to speak and give life. God has to quicken. We read that we're born again, not of a corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible by the Word of God, which lives and abides in us. So we're taught by the Word. We're taught in regeneration. When He opens our eyes and gives us life, we see. Been there all the time, but now we see. God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our heart to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. In the person of Jesus Christ, I can see how God can be holy and just and forgive me of my sin and be just in doing so. In the Lord Jesus, He's a just God and a Savior. By His Word, by regeneration, and by revelation. By revelation of His Word. Turn over here to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. He said, as it is written, I have not seen. 1 Corinthians 2, 9. I have not seen, as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard. Neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. I tell you what, the believer is in a continuing education class. I like that continuous education, don't you? Desire the sincere milk of the Word that you might grow thereby. We grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ as we study this Word, being begotten of God, having life, and the Holy Spirit takes this Word and continues to teach us, and we grow and grow as we learn more of Him. He is altogether lovely. To you who believe, He is precious. He is precious. I tell you, look back at Romans 16 again. Something else we see here. Fifthly, believers as described of God are committed, faithful, and obedient in the Lord. Committed, faithful, and obedient. It says this twice here. Verse 19, for your obedience has come abroad unto all men. It was publicly known. This thing wasn't done in a corner. It was publicly manifested, their obedience and their stand for the gospel. And he said, I'm glad. I'm glad therefore on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and harmless concerning evil. Again, the last part of verse 26, he said, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. My dear pastor taught me from the Word of God, that faith and conduct go together. Where you find one, you find the other. Faith and conduct go together, like faith and repentance. Where you find one, you find the other. God's people are zealous of good works. You read down through these verses, and you see over and over in these chapters where the Holy Spirit recognizes their labor of love in the gospel, who labored much. Look at verse 6, for example. Greek Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. And then verse 1, Phoebe, our sister. Verse 2 says, she was in the whatever business that she had need of. You help her. She's about the Lord's business. God put this epistle in her hand to deliver it to Rome. Gave it to a woman to do it. She went with an army of angels. They labored much in the Lord. But now, stay with me here. Look at this here. He gives a warning here in verse 19. Did you see it? Or did you read over it? I read over it until I looked at it more closely. Look at verse 19 again. He said, your obedience has come abroad unto all men. Recognize obedience. Public obedience. Faith and obedience go together. And I'm glad on your behalf. But, be careful now. But, yet I would have you wise unto that which is good. Our obedience and our work and our labor makes up no part of our righteousness. I would have you wise unto that which is really your goodness. You know what he's warning here? Don't trust your works. Don't trust your works. Don't trust your efforts. We are the true Israel which worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. There's a warning there. He said, I would have you wise unto that which is good. You know what he's saying here? I would have you wise unto that which is your real and only goodness before God. What is our only goodness before God? Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. Never have I read in Scripture where any time it says that my obedience is my righteousness. But I tell you this, turn back to Romans chapter 5, I read of another's obedience who is my righteousness. Did you see that in Romans chapter 5? Look at Romans chapter 5. Verse 19, for by one man's disobedience we were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall the many be made righteous. One man's disobedience, Adam, all in him, die. Sinners. So by the obedience of another, he's my righteousness. His obedience, you see the warning there? Yes, you've got good works. Yes, you've labored hard. We are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, but never find assurance or hope of salvation in your works. Never. It'll lead you to despair.
Amen.
It will. It'll lead you to despair. Our hope of righteousness before God that satisfying unto God is the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Righteousness is by His obedience. Listen to this. Now, hang with me. Don't rock me. Salvation, as I read in the Word of God, is by works.
Amen. Amen.
Somebody got it. He is. His work. I can make good on that. You think so? I can make good on that. Turn to John chapter 4. It says this over and over again in the Word. Salvation is by His obedience. His obedience for us, His work for us, and His work in us. It's by His work. Notice John chapter 4. The Lord said, My meat, 34, John 4, 34, My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His, what was that word? Finish His work. John 17. Turn over there. John 17. You see what I'm getting at here? We trust Christ who finished salvation for us. Look what it says here in John 17. Verse 4. I've glorified Thee on the earth. I finished the work You gave Me to do. John 19:30. Turn over there. John 19:30. When the Lord had received the vinegar, He said, It is finished. The work's done. It's finished. It's finished. I'm glad. That's His work for us, right? He died for our sin according to the Scripture. Now turn to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. That's His work for us. He did a glorious, substitutionary, satisfying sacrifice of Himself, not with the blood of bulls and goats, but with His own blood. He put away our sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Look over here at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. We believe. You know, we believe the gospel according to His work. We read that this morning. This is the work of God. Look what it says here in Ephesians 1:19. Ephesians 1:19. What is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe according to the working of His mighty power. Now, you see where I'm going with that? Salvation's all of God's. And what Brother Scott used to say, His doing and dying. His doing and dying for us. Well, have you got time for one more? Turn back to Romans 16. Romans 16. The last one is this, not like this one. Romans 16, verse 20. God's people are not only taught of God, not only obedient unto Christ, who is our salvation, but you know what? They're victorious. Look at verse 20. They're victorious. And the God of peace. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And the God of peace shall, He has, and He will, bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Verse 24, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
Amen.
The God of peace, the God of peace, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ shall conquer all our enemies and put all our enemies under our feet shortly.
Amen.
Shortly. In this world, our Lord said, you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. There's an amazing verse in the Revelation, I think, that explains the whole book. He went forth conquering to conquer. He is the mighty conqueror. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. He defeated all of our enemies. The law, put it away. That which was contrary to me and against me, He took it away, nailed it to His cross, redeemed us from the curse of the law. How about our sin? It's gone. He appeared once in the end of the age to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. He purged us with His own blood, by His own sacrifice. The law, sin, death. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. This is the last one, death. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. 1 Corinthians 15. Look at this. This is sweet. O death, where is thy sting? Verse 54. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption. This is 1 Corinthians 15, 54. You with me? Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. He said, I am He that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. Victory over sin, over the law, over death itself. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death, the cause of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. I tell you, the law is satisfied. The sin put away. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, you talk about the victorious life. Woo! I tell you, what a gospel we have. What a message we have to tell. What a God we have to serve. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.